Well, greetings, all of our family and friends. I want to welcome you to our Take It By Force, Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast. This is your host for today, Apostle Nathaniel Leon. I'm excited to be with you. I believe God has something significant he's going to say. It's so good to see all of you. We pray the grace and blessing of the Lord over you. Sister Melissa, so good to see you. Thank you for your patience. We are doing the broadcast from home today. In light of us pressing forward, there is a release of the grace of the Lord and the presence of God that God has ordained for this appointed time. So I'm grateful that you're with us. Thank you for joining us. We just got in late last night from our time in beautiful South Africa. God ministered mightily. We put up a few photos of what God was able to release over that time. But so good to see you all. Good to see some of you joining. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to do that work of the evangelist and to share the podcast, to like the podcast. Let somebody know we're on. We pray that God is going to bless you today in a tremendous, tremendous way. Blessings, Sister Julie, Sister Melissa, so good to see you. Sister Nadine, God bless you. Let us know where you're joining in from. Pastor Matt, so good to see you watching from YouTube channel. The Lord bless you. We believe God is going to speak in a tremendous way and that there's going to be a release of God's mind today. So hopefully you can hear me well. We are in our home studio at our house, and we're going to pray that God would increase the grace and the power of God's word in a great, great way. And we're asking God to be glorified. I pray that you can hear me fine and that God's word would go forward. Bless you, Brother Ryan. So good to see you. I'm gonna get straight to the word of the Lord. We're gonna start with a word of prayer. Bless. Good to see you. Bless one. Thank you for praying for us. I also encourage you to keep me in prayer. The jet lag is real. It is not an easy thing to go from different time zones. I believe South Africa is about 9 hours time difference, but we believe God is gonna minister in a great, great way, and that his glory would be manifest. So let's start with a word of prayer. I'm going to go straight from the Heavenly Father. We invite your presence onto this podcast. We pray that the word of life would minister to your people goodness and mercy and favor. I pray that the grace of your presence would settle on this time together, that every obstacle, every hindrance would be broken, and that the name of the Lord would be exalted, that his purpose would prevail. I thank you for wisdom and revelation. I thank you for the counsel of the Lord. I thank you for the grace of your spirit that settles on each and every hearer. I pray every obstacle, every hindrance would be broken, and that your name would be exalted. Speak to your people that which is good, that which is whole, and that which is true, and we will give you praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. If you agree, somebody say amen and amen again. Well, this is the senior pastor of This Rock International, Apostle Nathaniel Leon. I'm excited to be with you on this, the 9th of October. God is doing tremendous things. I've not been on for the last couple of weeks traveling in beautiful South Africa. We were in the wonderful region of Cape Town. God ministered tremendously for a few days. Then we traveled directly to the city of Queenstown, South Africa. And then we transitioned all the way into Port Elizabeth, Uteni, outside of Port Elizabeth. And then we concluded our journey in beautiful George, South Africa. It was amazing. The power of God moved. And I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your agreement. I believe God is intending to do great and mighty things. But let's get straight to the word of the Lord today. Thank you for being with us. All that are greeting, Sister Gloria, the Lord bless you. Again, Brother Livingston, so good to see you. See your wife, Sister Nadine, on. Sister Mary Keys, the Lord bless you. Thank you for joining, Pastor Jaime. God bless you. All of you joining, Sister V, thank you for the welcome back. So good to see you, Sister Marissa. God bless you. We're praying that God's power would move mightily. Now, let me encourage you. We must be, I believe, one of our calls for not only this broadcast, but the people that God has appointed. It has appointed is that we would be a people who are like the sons of Issachar. And the Bible says the sons of Issachar have the anointing to know the seasons and the times and what the people of God should do in those times. We've just transitioned into the new year according to the Hebrew calendar. Bless you, Apostle Spring. So good to see you. Thank you for your prayers, woman of God. Thank you for joining us. Again, we just transitioned October 2nd to October 4th. We've just entered the Hebrew time or concluded Rosh Hashanah, which means the head of the year. So according to the Hebrew calendar, 5785, we are already in the new year. Now, I know according to our Gregorian calendar, we've got yet about two more months left of the year and a half. But let me encourage you that God does not move in times or seasons or times as we naturally know, but he moves in seasons. And this is an appointed season. Bless you, Brother Ricky. So good to see you as well. Pastor, good to see you. Or Brother Ricky, thank you for joining us. God moves in seasons. And there is an appointed season that God has anointed for the church of Jesus Christ to rise up and stand in the gap and to close up the breaches and to transform our generation. I told Pastor O last night, I could feel as we came back into the States, even as we traveled, we were in a new season. As of, again, Friday, October 4th, we're in a new year. So I'm going to go ahead and ask you by faith to put in the comment section, Happy New Year. Again, according to the Hebrew calendar, we are in our new year, 5785. And I know, again, we've got a few more months in the Gregorian calendar, which we use. But let me encourage you, this is a new season. Now, 5785-80 deals with the decade of the open mouth, and 5 deals with inspiration, truth, the moment to speak truth, the moment for the wind of God to come. Let me encourage you. This is an appointed time. This is a set time. Again, Happy New Year. Happy New Season. It's the head of the year. You are moving in a new anointing. You're going to move in God's grace and power and see what eye has not seen and hear what ear has not heard, but God is revealing it by his Spirit. And as I landed, one of the major things, I don't know about different states, but I know here in America, or here in California, one of the major things that's all over is we're praying for the states that the hurricanes are coming in and they're supposed to be landing. Some have already hit and there's been great devastation in some of our states and there's more disasters coming in the natural. Let me encourage you. The Bible says, according to Romans chapter number 8, we're going to turn there, Romans chapter number 8, that all of creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. Everything created is longing for the sons and daughters of God. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to turn there. Romans chapter 8. We're going there. I'm pulling that up. And verse, it'll be right about verse number 19. All of creation is waiting eagerly for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 20 says, all of creation was made subject to vanity, not by reason, but by reason of hope of him that subjected the same in hope. The creature itself, this is our key verse for this podcast, Freedom Global. The creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God, the glory that produces freedom. It produces power. It produces provision. For we know that all of creation is groaning and travailing in pain until now. And so you see these hurricanes, you see these weather patterns, they are violent. You see the shakings and the fires, and you see all of creation in travail. Again, Happy New Year. And they are waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. And the only solution to these issues, whether they are natural disasters, whether they are weather storms and category 8 or 5, I haven't researched, but there are storms coming to the shores of America, according to those who observe the weather, meteorologists that have not hit these shores or haven't happened only once or twice in all of recorded history. When they begin to record history of weather patterns, what does that mean? Something in the spirit prophetically is coming. Now, we're going to pray for every state, every region, every territory that is under the attack of the devil. But let me encourage you, by the hand of God, God wants to use you to be a light in the midst of the darkness. This destruction that is coming, this darkness that is coming, this chaos that is shaking in the earth, do not be afraid, because you are built on good foundation. Everything created is waiting for the uncovering and the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. The only hope and the only need that we have for America, for South Africa, for London, for Europe, for different parts of this world, for Asia, for all the continents of the world, is the glory of God stewarded by the sons and daughters of God. Verse 21, go back there again. We're going to look. Everything created is under a curse when the sons and daughters of God are not in authority. Remember, Genesis 1:26, God left man his image and made him in his likeness and gave him dominion, which is jurisdictional authority over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over everything that creeps and moves, and every beast of the field, and everything on the earth realm. So God gave dominion to man. Legal dominion or legal jurisdictional authority was given to man. And when man fell, he transferred that authority from his rulership to the prince of the power of the air. But thanks be to God, according to your word, that he that hung on a curse became a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham would come upon us. He came to redeem that which was lost. What was lost? Souls, yes. People, yes. But he came to redeem that, not those, that. What is that? That kingdom that was lost. That the kingdom of God, Matthew 6, verse 8, 9, and 10, that as we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, as we worship in spirit and in truth, that thy kingdom would come, thy will would be done in the earth as it is in heaven. So creation is longing for the kingdom of God to come to the earth. The earth is longing for a system of governmental rule. We are in an election year. And I will remind you, I am not a Democrat. I am not a Republican. I'm a kingdom man. I'm a monarch. I believe that God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible is not just a religious book. It is a kingdom book. It is a government. It is a type of constitution. We've heard Dr. Miles Monroe say it's not just a religious book, though. It's worship and it's spiritual. It is a legal constitution. It is a form of government. The kingdom of God is coming to the earth. I'm going to repeat that to you now. Let everything you see, let everything you hear, let all of the attacks and all of the wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilence and earthquakes and diseases and things happening, don't you be afraid, because you have a kingdom that is unshakable. Hebrews 12 says everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. I'll repeat that to you. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So not only what cannot be shaken would remain, seeing we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us serve God reverently with godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. I decree by the power of the Spirit, your God is a consuming fire. Your God is a miracle worker. Your God is a deliverer. Your God, his kingdom never shakes. And you say, well, Apostle, doesn't the Bible speak of an end time tribulation? Yes. Doesn't the Bible speak of a rapture? Yes. I believe in a catching away. But before there's a catching away of the church, Matthew chapter 16, 17, 18, 19 says, God will raise up a church in whom the gates of hell will not prevail. I want to tell you, there is a church arising in the midst of chaos, in the midst of shaking, in the midst of darkness. And this church is going to be given the keys and the secrets of the kingdom of God. And whatever they bind on the earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever they loose, you see, biblically, whenever there was famine, whenever there was wars and rumors of war, whenever there was pestilence, it was God setting the stage to show his glory. Let me encourage you. There is an outpouring of the glory of God that is appointed and that has been set apart from before the foundation of the world, that we would see the hand of God in the land of the living. Don't you be afraid that this age is shifting. The Bible says when you see these things come, it is the end of the age. Now, that world is not the world earth or planet. It is the end of an era. We are changing eras. An era is changing. There is the age of information. There is the age of industry. There's the Stone Age. There's the Ice Age. There's the age of technology. Let me encourage you. The kingdom age is coming upon us, where God is going to give authority to the church so the church can receive the last day harvest. So nations can see the glory of the Lord. Everything created is going to be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glory that releases freedom of the sons and daughters of God. This curse that is in the earth, this groaning that is happening, this cry. And again, this is an election year for America. For those that live in America, this is an election year. And the enemy wants to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Those are three agendas how you can discern who is from God and who is not. The enemy always wants to take what is not his. He wants to kill life. He has no regard for life. He doesn't regard the womb. He doesn't regard babies in the womb. Doesn't regard the sanctity of the word of God. Doesn't regard the direction of marriage, what is between male and a female. He doesn't regard the Bible. Number three, he's here to destroy, which is the second death. So his job is, but Jesus came that you would have life, that you would have it abundantly. So you don't have to be afraid of all the shaking happening. You don't have to worry. You say, well, Apostle, what if I'm in one of these regions where the storms are coming? What if I'm in one of these territories where the hurricanes are on the way? Well, let me encourage you. He is your shelter. He is your shield. He is your buckler. He is your reward. The Bible says, though men put their trust in chariots and in horsemen, we put our trust in the Lord. What does that mean? Let me encourage you. If you are a covenant believer, I'm not talking about a convenient believer, a covenant believer in covenant with Jehovah, walking with him, talking with him. He said, 1,000 will fall at your left hand and 10,000 your right, but it will not come nigh you or your dwelling place. You can expect the blessing of God over your doorways. You can expect the blessing of God over your house. Well, how can you say that? Because I can read the word of God. He said, I'm going to be a fence. The enemy will come in one way, but flee seven ways. Well, what do you do with all the destruction happening? You pray. Here's 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. We must stand on our watch. We must begin to fast and to pray as never before. It's time for the people of God to begin to fast and to pray as never before. Here, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'm going there as well. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Here's what the scripture says that God writes and chronicles in his word. I'm actually going to go back one verse, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 13. If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, if I command the locust or the destroyer or the devourer in the land, if there is pestilence or if there is disease or if there is pandemics in the land, what do you do? What do you do, Apostle? Let me ask you that. They say, Apostle, what do we do? Do we put as much food in our basement as possible? If you can store extra, do that. But your supply is not in your basement. If you can get extra water, keep extra water on hand. But your supply is not in your cabinet. Your supply is the Lord. If that was the case, we would do our best and we would be the best doomsday preppers that ever existed. We would put thousands and hundreds of thousands, not into building the house of God, not into worship, not into building centers for worship or the kingdom of God. We would put it in our natural supply. But let me remind you, it is the job of the king to meet the supply of the citizens. This is why he said in Matthew 6, verse 33, don't worry about what you eat, what you drink, what you put on, but seek first the kingdom. Here is the problem. The church has become idolatrous. I'm speaking of the American church. We put money before God. We put comfort before God. We put our feelings before God. And we wonder why we are not seeing the covenant of God established. Seek primarily the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And everything you need will be added to you. Don't seek second. Don't seek third. America, the nation we live in, in the Western, I don't know about all the nations of the world. I can tell you about America. I can tell you about California. I can tell you about Southern California. The church, by and large, I'm not rebuking anybody, has become dependent on this world system. And they put at times the worship of comfort, the worship of money, and the worship of emotions before the worship of God. How can you say that, Apostle? Because in America, if it's hot, people don't come to church. In America, if it's cold, people don't come to worship God. In America, worship has become a secondary and a thirdary thing. We think going to church is a religious obligation when the Bible says when we come together as an ecclesia, we are a light in the darkness. We are a peace in the midst of a storm. You see, we've misinterpreted what we do middle of the week on Wednesday and Sundays. We misinterpreted what that is. We think it's going to church to fulfill a religious obligation so I can go to heaven when I die. I put my time in, I've done my minimum duty, and then I go forward. No, no, no. The church is the light of the world and the salt of the earth. The church is not just a religious congregation coming together. When we come together, the gavel of heaven and the courts of heaven are in session. God is watching our decrees. God is watching our proclamations. God is watching our worship. And based on what we do, the earth receives. Based on what we do not do, the earth receives. See, God doesn't judge the earth based on the earth. God doesn't judge the earth based on sinners. There's always been sinners. Bless you, Brother Mario Martinez. There's always been sickness. There's always been wickedness and perversion. But when wickedness and perversion abound, God looks for the righteous. Here is what again. Let me read this again. Let's take a minute and break this down. 2 Chronicles 7:13. 2 Chronicles 7:1. Moses is dedicating the, Solomon, rather, is dedicating the temple. Bless you, Pastor Michelle. So good to see you. We're praying for Florida. I said, we're praying for Florida. We're praying for the church. We're praying for Freedom South. We're standing in agreement. The covenant of God will stand. His blood will stand. His word will hold on. Nothing that man can do, nor the earth, nor demonic powers can shift the word of God. But in 2 Chronicles 7:1, Solomon is finishing dedicating the temple. Let's read this. 2 Chronicles 7:1. Now, when Solomon made an end of praying, the fire of God fell from heaven and consumed the burnt offering, the sacrifice, and the glory filled the house. Are you listening? Solomon finished praying. Wisdom finished praying. And when wisdom finished praying, he offered sacrifice. The Church of America, not everybody, but there is a remnant, but the global church in the nations is not used to sacrifice. Sacrifice becomes unfamiliar. What do you mean give sacrificially, serve sacrificially? Give my time, give my resource, give my energy. What do you mean? Sacrifice is what draws God's attention. What do you mean pray? The church has become prayerless. Not all, there's a remnant, but by and large, the church is not used to praying. But let me encourage you, when the church begins to pray, when the church begins to humble themselves, when the church begins to offer sacrifice on the altar, the fire of God will fall. And when the fire of God fell, the Bible says, then the fire came from heaven and the burn off and it consumed. When fire meets sacrifice, glory is revealed. When heavenly fire, which is the light of God, which is the purity of God, which is the force. See, fire is a technology. If you didn't know that, man was in the dark ages till God gave them fire. And man could create fire on earth. There's a fire there. And that fire lit the darkness. It gave us power to cook food. And it was a technology. Now we've studied fire and then come up with electricity, which is another manifestation of energy and power. But there's something called holy and heavenly fire. This fire is God's power. It is God's energy. It is God's authority. And it is higher than man's power. Now, when God saw the sacrifice of Solomon, saw the prayer of Solomon, saw the burnt offering, the fire fell and it met pure sacrifice. Now, when fire met sacrifice, the glory began to manifest. Keep reading. 2 Chronicles 7:1, Solomon made an end of praying. The fire of God came down from heaven. It consumed. The fire needs to consume. Fire needs something to burn up. Fire needs something to fuel it. And your sacrifice, your fasting, your prayer, your dedication, it's the fuel. You say, well, I don't need to fast anymore. I don't need to pray anymore. You've missed it, sir. We're in grace, so we don't need fasting. We don't need prayer. We don't need consecration. You've missed it, sir. All of that deception. There's a people that don't believe God wants sacrifice. We're shortening services, not because we for any reason, but we want to please people, not God. Now, I don't believe in being long for the sake of being long, but your gathering should include hosting God's presence, finding the song he wants, finding the word he wants, finding what we're focused on that night and decreeing it, says the Lord. The Bible says the fire fell and from heaven it consumed the burnt offering. It consumed the sacrifice according to the word. And the glory filled the house of God. Now, when God's glory fills a place, fills a space, fills a person, God begins to bring order in the earth realm. See, when glory fills the earth, fire manifests, sacrifice is accepted, God appeases judgment. The wages of sin is still death. Apostle, we're in the New Testament. I'm going to tell you again, the wages of sin is still death. The nation that turns from the Lord will move to judgment. A righteous nation, according to the word, will bring blessing. A nation that does not fear God will bring a curse on itself and a curse on the generation. That's Bible. But when a people begin to humble themselves and pray and seek the face of God, you say, that's old fashioned, apostle. I don't need to seek God's face. I've got money. I don't need to seek God's face. I've got finances. I don't need to seek God's face. I've got storehouses. This is what happens when we begin to put things in front of God and put money in front of God and put our comfort in front of God and put our convenience in front of God. Then things around us begin to shake that we fall back on our face and God will rebuke the destroyer. Verse 2 says, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 2, and the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory had filled the house. How many want to see God's power fill his house so mightily that the preachers can't preach and the singers can't sing? The fire of God came so strong that the normal duties couldn't be done. And when the children of Israel saw, verse 3, how the fire of God fell and the glory of the Lord came upon the house, they began to worship and bow their faces to the ground, to the pavement, and worship and praise, said, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. This is a principle. If you're under the sound of my voice, the Lord said to me, tell the people of God, begin to offer sacrifice. It's time to consecrate. It's time to pray. It's time to fast. We're going to be doing some corporate consecration, This Rock International, this month. Believing God for God's outcome, November, December, and in January. We're believing God for the course of America, the course of South Africa, the course of London, the course of Pakistan, the course of Europe to be changed. You say, what can we do, Apostle? We're just one individual. No, sir. No, ma'am. They begin to offer sacrifices. Go down to 13. Go to verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard the prayer. And I've chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. We must give God sacrifice. It's not just money. Sometimes it is an offering. It's your time. It's your energy. It's your will. It's your service. God is looking for sacrifice. You say, not me, Apostle. I want it easy. You see, in the American culture and in the culture that we live in, the Western culture, it's about comfort. We just came home from 25 hours of flight, traveling in and out of airports, layovers, more than 30 hours. And they offer you tickets and their upgrades. And you'll pay $200, $500, $1,000 more, $5,000 more, depends on how much you can afford for a more comfortable seat. 10 and a half hours, 11 and a half hours. So you'll pay for comfort. And there's nothing wrong with that. But our kingdom is not only a kingdom of comfort, it's a kingdom of covenant. And covenant requires sacrifice. I said, covenant requires sacrifice. You say, well, what do I give if I don't have money? Your time, your fasting. You say, well, I don't have money to give. You've got time. You can give your fasting should be increasing. Your prayer time should be. It don't take money. You say, I don't have any money. I can't give an offering. I'm not asking for an offering, but God is asking for your heart. God is asking for your time. God is telling you, get up early and fast and pray for America. Go on a consecration. Go on a time of seeking God. You see, God is after your heart, not your money. God is after your heart, not just your service. God wants you He doesn't want what you have if you don't have you. He said he appeared to him. He said, I've heard your prayer. I'm ready to connect with a house that will be a house of sacrifice, not comfort. You see, in America and in most churches across the world, the padded pews, we've got comfortable seats. I'm not against comfortable seats. We've got air conditioning, perfect temperature. We've got lighting. We've got everything to make us comfortable. And that's not wrong. But that's not why we go. That's not why we go to the house of God. He wants you to come and give him your heart. He wants you to come and give him your time. He wants you to come and gather with a movement of prayer. Here's what verse 13 says. If I shut the heavens, when the heavens are shut, then rain ceases and famine comes. If I shut the heavens, why? Because of disobedience, because of a lack of consecration, because of sin in the earth. Sin still affects the earth. Sin still causes death. You say, we're in the New Testament, Apostle. It doesn't disannul the laws of sowing and reaping. Romans says the wages of sin is still death. Well, I'm in the New Testament. It doesn't change. What you sow, you will reap. But the beauty of grace is when you call on him, he will cleanse us and he will forgive us. He will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have an advocate. That doesn't mean we can abuse the grace of God. God forbid. Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We have an advocate that is calling us higher, that is calling us deeper. If the heavens are closed and there is no rain and there is no food and there is no bread, if the locusts come to devour the land, the locusts, again, remember in the book of Revelation, that when the bottomless pit was opened, And the locusts and the animals came out. It deals with devouring spirit, which eat harvest, but it also deals with war. If war begins to come, famine begins to come, what do you do in this time? If the Bible says, and the land is in pestilence. Pestilence is sickness, but it's more than just sickness. It's pandemics. It's national and regional sicknesses. It's not just a sickness. It is a plague. An infirmity, a pandemic. It is a COVID that goes throughout the world and makes sickness in the earth. You say, well, what's happening around us? The earth seems to be in chaos. If these things begin to happen, what do, Apostle? You get ready to go to heaven? I'm telling you, live ready. Live like he's coming tonight, but plan like he'll be here in another 50 years. Make plans to perform and to walk in the purpose of God. He could come whenever he wants. But here's the beauty. He will not come until he fulfills his word. Heaven and earth will pass away before one word ever failed. And he said he's coming back for a glorious church. He said, I'm going to pour my spirit upon all flesh, and sons and daughters will prophesy, and old men will dream dreams, and young men will see visions, and servants will prophesy. Fire, pillars of smoke, shaking will come, and all that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a harvest before there's a rapture. There's a global harvest before there's a global rapture. So remember, when the rapture comes, the door of grace is closed. So get our eschatology correctly. There's got to be revival. There's got to be. So what can happen? What do we do? The chaos is here. The attacks are here. The storms are here. The tornadoes are here. The hurricanes are here. Hurricanes, we've never seen them this big. War, we've never seen the wars like we're seeing. We've seen Israel in chaos, but we've not seen Israel at war. Israel is at war now. The nations are shaking. Wars and rumors of wars. What do? We lift our heads. We look toward heaven. We fast and we pray, because if God can find a remnant, he will redeem the time. If God can find a people, here's what verse number 14 says. If my people, that's you. If my, you are to be a part of a people. I don't want to be a part of a people. The church hurt me. Be forgiven. Forgive the church. Be a part of a local house. You say, well, I'm in transition. I'm telling you, says the Holy Ghost, your time of transition is over. Find a people. You're not meant to be solo by yourself. You need a people around you who will gird you, who will agree with you. Because one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000, three can chase 100,000, four can chase 1,000,000, five can chase 10 million. The power of agreement. You've got to be planted somewhere. It don't have to be perfect, but somewhere. You're not just a person, though you are. You must be a part of a people. If my people, now the word is conditional. If means you must, so he can. If I will, then God will. If means conditional. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves. The word humble is make low, make abased, but it also deals with the Hebrew word fast and pray, according to Dr. Miles Monroe. To fast, if my people will humble themselves and seek the face of God, seek the presence of God, and turn from their own ways. You say, not me, yes, you, yes, me. Turn from my ways, turn from my will, turn from my thinking, turn from my old habits, and seek the presence of God. The church of God must return to the presence. I said, the church of God must return to the pursuit. The word face in Hebrew here is the Hebrew word panim, which means the presence. Pursue the presence. Pursue the name of God. Pursue the nature of God. If we will humble ourselves, if we will pray, if we will seek his face, if we will turn from the things in our life that are not pleasing to God, then the Bible says, I will hear from heaven. Your prayers will reach heaven. But then also sounds will come from heaven. Words will come from heaven. Decrees will come from heaven. There will be a release from heaven. God will pardon the sin. God wants to pardon sin. He takes pleasure in forgiving, in loving, but he needs an intercessor. You say, well, Jesus is the intercessor. Yes, but God needs a body. He needs you to pray. He needs me to pray. Who do I pray for? Who am I connected to? Who am I responsible for? My family, yes. My marriage, yes. My church, yes. My city, yes. My territory, who am I connected to? Whose burden do I feel? We've got to understand the ministry of intercession. It's not that we're only praying for us. We're praying for cities and nations and regions, that you're going before the courts of heaven and you are decreeing. Job chapter 1 says that the sons of God went before the throne of God and Satan was among them. The sons of God must go before the throne of God to begin to do business in heaven on behalf of earthly affairs. You go to the courts of heaven to do business in the heavens, to decree in the heavens, and God will establish it. You see, God has all the power, but he needs a vessel to work through. He's looking for a vessel. I said, he's looking for a vessel. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro upon the earth. Go there with me. Also to the book of Chronicles. The Bible says, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro upon the earth, searching for somebody, anybody. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. God is searching. Who's he searching for? A worshiper, a radical believer, a man who put his trust in God, a woman who will say God is able. He doesn't need your ability. He needs your availability. God just needs a cup. See, he's the substance. You're the vessel. And the earth needs to drink. Paul said, I'm a drink offering poured out. I'm just the vessel. He's the substance. But he needs a vessel. He needs a body. He needs hands. He needs feet. He said, God will do what he'll do. Yes, but he needs a body. He needs a vessel. He won't violate his own word. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord look to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself powerful, strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. God just needs a heart. God just needs a vessel. He's searching for a vessel. He's looking for anybody. Moses, I need you. I can't do it. I can't talk. Esther, I need you. No. I'm just a Hebrew girl from the wrong side of the tracks. Saul, you're going to be the first king. I'm just a Benjamite. Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor. No. I'm just the least in my house. See, we are aware of our weakness, and God is aware of our strength. We are aware of our shortcomings, and God is aware of our gifting and our purpose. He sees himself in you. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro. Verse 14 again, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves, 2 Chronicles 7:14, and pray. And what? Pray. Fast and pray. I'm asking you, if you have any discernment and you feel what's happening, you can feel the shaking, You can feel the movement in the earth. You can feel the uneasiness. I'm calling you. The Lord is putting a clarion call. It's time to return to the Lord with fasting and prayer. I said, it's time to, you said, well, I pray when I can. It's not enough. We've got to increase our prayer time. We've got to have a set moment with God where God will commune with you and you with him. And we've got to add to our prayer fasting, turning our plate over. And see, where is that in the Bible? Daniel chapter 10, the Bible says that Daniel began to fast for 21 days for the course of his nation. And the Bible says that he fasted for 21 days. On the 21st day, for 20 days, the prince of the power of Persia withheld him. And then on the 21st day, the angel showed up with an answer for the whole nation. The Bible says Esther is about to see her nation genocide. Genocide is coming to destroy. A decree that is irreversible came for all of the Israelite people. All of the Hebrews are going to be destroyed. And the Bible says she calls a fast for 3 days, no food, no water. And the Bible says God hears the fast and changes the course of the nation. The Bible says that that Jonah didn't want to go preach to Nineveh. He didn't, because he knew the nature of God. But he went and preached and said, destruction is coming to this land. And the Bible says, God said, I'm going to wipe you out. Nineveh went into fasting and prayer for 3 days, no food, no water. And God turned the curse of the nation into a blessing and gave them more time. Are you listening? The enemy says, there's nothing we can do. Look at America. Look at South Africa. Look at London. Look at Europe. There's nothing. No. When I humble myself, when I begin to fast and pray, when I come into corporate unity, God can heal the land. If you pray, if I pray, if I seek his face, if I turn from my own ways, if I fast, the Bible says, then a sound will come from heaven. And then the Bible says that God will pardon the land, pardon the iniquities of America, pardon the iniquities of South Africa, pardon the iniquities of California, pardon the sin of Florida, pardon the sin of Texas. You make no mistake, wickedness does not go unpunished, but God looks for an intercessor to stand in the gap and lift their hands and say, Lord, have mercy on America. Lord, have mercy on California. Lord, have mercy on my city and my region. Stand up in the gap. Strengthen. You said, I'm tired, Apostle. Don't be weary. God's going to give you strength. He said, I will heal, forgive sin. I will release a sound from heaven, and I will heal the land. God never cursed man. God cursed the ground. Genesis chapter 3, God didn't curse man. He cursed the ground. For God himself could not curse what he had blessed. His decree is irrevocable. When Isaac blessed Jacob instead of Esau, Esau came looking for a blessing. He said, I cannot reverse this blessing because the blessing is irrevocable. He said, you're going to serve your brother. The elder will serve the younger. He blessed them, but he didn't give them the same. The blessing is irrevocable. God blessed man in Genesis 1:28. So when man fell, he didn't curse man. He cursed the ground. So man is living with a cursed ground, sweat of our brow, toil. But he said, I'm bringing the kingdom back. I'm breaking the curse. I'm breaking the thorns and the thistles. The sign of the thorn of the curse is that the ground would produce thorns and thistles, not just fruit. So the ground doesn't respond to man. So we're living by the sweat of our brow. And we are amazed to see Jesus quiet the ocean. We are amazed to see Jesus feed 5,000 with two fishes, five loaves. We are amazed to see Jesus heal the sick and raise the dead. We are amazed to hear the stories of Paul's handkerchief healing people. We are amazed to see the stories of Peter's shadow just walking by and they get healed in the book of Acts. We're amazed at all of these wonders and we don't realize God said, I made you for dominion. And in the kingdom, I've broken the curse. I've reversed it. For cursed is every man that hangs upon the tree. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that the blessing of Abraham would come upon you, that you would be able to do what he did in greater. I'm ready to pray for you. Don't you be afraid. You say, Apostle, what do? We pray. We fast. We cry out. What else do we do? We pray. We fast. We cry out. We pray. We go to the word. We come together. We stand upon the word, and God will heal the land. God will send the fire. God will send revival. God will send his victory. God, see, there are bowls in heaven, bowls, vials, and the bowls of iniquity, when they get full, the angels pour them out and judgment comes, destruction comes. I don't have time to teach it, but there are bowls in heaven. And when sin and iniquity get full, they are poured out in the earth. There are also bowls in heaven of the prayers of the saints, vials. And when those prayers get full, the angels pour those out and he sends revival. He takes it and he throws it into the earth. I'm in the book of Revelation now. And fire comes, revival comes, restoration comes, souls are saved. Do you want judgment? Or do you want revival? Do you want the plagues or do you want the glory? See, your prayers matter. I grew up in a denomination which I do believe in the will of God. I do believe God's plan will come to pass. But they taught us without telling us God's will come to pass whether I pray or not. So why? You don't need to pray. Whatever God wills will be, but that's not the Bible. Though, yes, God's will ultimately come to pass. God needs a vessel. He's looking for a man. It doesn't matter whether I fast. Doesn't matter whether I pray. Doesn't matter if I'm obedient or serve God. The devil is a liar. I said, the devil is a liar. Your prayers matter. Your prayer gives God release to move in your generation. A prayerless church, a fasting, a church that does not fast, and a church that does not consecrate is one that gives the devil legal permission to come in and attack the earth. He's the defeated devil. His power has been broken, but God is looking to the church. He's looking for a vessel. I'm going to show you this last verse. The Bible says that he's looking for a man or woman to stand in the gap, to raise up the hedge. We're going to be talking about this. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. The book of Ezekiel 22, verse 30. Ask you to hold on to this word. God needs an intercessor. God needs somebody to stand in the gap. You've got one assignment, man of God. You've got one assignment, woman of God, to stand in the gap for your city, for your territory, for your family, for your mother, for your father, for your brother, for your sister, but also for your city, but also for your county, but also for your nation. Not me, yes, you. God calls you ecclesia, and ecclesia is not a religious term. It's the word church, but it's translated ecclesia, governing summoned ones who stand in the gap for territory, for land. They're like senators. God summons us so that he would deal with us for the course of nations. God is looking for Abraham. God is looking for Moses to stand in the gap for their city, to stand in the gap for their city. You say, not me. Yes, you. Here is Ezekiel 22, verse 30. I looked for a man, Ezekiel 22, 30. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and that should stand in the gap for me in the land. God is looking for a vessel, anybody, a man or woman that'll stand in the gap. The hedge is the fence. The hedge is the wall. The hedge is the place of protection. He says, I'm looking for the man. I'm looking for the woman that will stand in the gap, that will raise a hedge of prayer. Spiritually, well, what does that mean? Job chapter 1, the Bible says that God was communing or was dealing with his sons in Job 1, and the devil came as well. Satan came, and he said, I've come from walking up and down the earth. And Satan, and God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He fears me. He serves me. He worships me. And the devil said a funny thing. The devil said a funny thing. He said, does Job fear you for nothing? You put a hedge about him. What is a hedge? A fence. It is a wall, a protection. You put it around him. Job chapter 1, I'll just give it to you. I'm going back to Ezekiel in a moment. We're going to pray. Job chapter 1. The scripture says, verse 10, you've made a hedge around him, a fence about it, around his house and all that he has on every side. You've blessed the work of his hands and the substance of its increase of this land. So the devil recognizes there's a fence around Job, Job's house, Job's family, and everything Job has. It's a fence. What did Job do every morning? He offered sacrifice and he prayed. When you offer sacrifice and pray, you raise a hedge. Now, go back to Ezekiel, if you would, 22:30, when there is no prayer in the land, when there is no fasting in the land, when we go to comfort and ease, and the church is not being the church, the church is not being like, now there's gaps. Here's the fence. There's a gap. And that the wolf can come in the fence and destroy. Let me read this to you as we get ready to go. The Bible says, Ezekiel 22:30, I looked for a man among those in the earth to make the hedge, to stand in the gap before me for the land. For who? For the land. For Africa, the continent, for South Africa, for Zimbabwe, for India, for Asia, for these continents, but for China, for America, for California, for India, for India, for Las Vegas. I'm looking for a man to stand in the gap, to raise up the hedge, to for the land, to stand for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. And when I don't find one, I pour out my indignation and fire and wrath. You say, well, that's Old Testament. It's still happening today. God is looking for a man, a woman, to stand in the gap, to lift their hands and say, is there 50 righteous? Is there 40 righteous? Is there 30 righteous? Abraham, is there 10 righteous? Is there righteous in the land? God, have mercy on the land. Cry out for our land. You say, that's foolishness. No, sitting there doing nothing, that is foolishness. Sitting there believing whether I fast and pray and seek God or don't, that's foolishness. But when you determine my obedience can change the course of America, one man named Moses changed the course of his generation. One man named Joshua changed the course of his generation. The obedience of Joseph saved the whole world. The obedience of Esther saved her people. The obedience of Daniel brought the people of God out of captivity over 70 years. And he counseled kings. He canceled kings and he corrected kings. He was led of God. Your life matters. I'm going to pray with you. I'm done. Don't be afraid. Hear me. Hear me. You say, what do I need to do? Now seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. Forgive. Let go. Let go of who hurt you. Let go of who wounded you. Let go of who attacked you. Let go of who oppressed you. Forgive. Forgive and move by the Spirit. Lord, I pray right now for those under the sound of my voice that are listening to this podcast, wherever it finds them. I ask you now that you heal the land of South Africa, that you heal the land of Zimbabwe, that you heal the land of Kenya, that you heal the land of China, you heal the land of Indonesia, you heal the land of America, you heal the land of London, you heal the land of California, you heal the land of Riverside and India. God, we stand in the gap and we lift up our voices and we cry out and we say, Lord, heal this land, heal our nation, God. For Lord, you hear and you answer by fire. For Lord, you raise up kings and you bring low kings. Lord, you do this by giving, you change the seasons and the times by giving wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who love understanding. You give secrets in the dark and you minister treasures and truth in wisdom and truth, God. So I pray over those under the sound of my voice that have been under persecution, that have under pressure and fire. But Lord, let us return to our prayer closet. Let us return to fasting and praying and seeking you with all of our heart, and you will heal the land. I said, you will heal the land. You will heal the nations of the earth. God, I pray specifically over Florida and Texas and the states and Arkansas and North Carolina, these states attacked with flood. Raise up the prayer warriors. Raise up the intercessors that stand as watchmen on the wall, that intercede and pray for the land, that fast and pray for territory, that never hold their peace, but night and day they stand as watchmen and women on the wall, and they do not hold their peace, but they give an answer when they are reproved. And they will declare the word of the Lord. God, strengthen those listening now, wherever they find themselves watching this podcast, whatever they're going through, cover them now, strengthen them now, and keep them for your glory, for your honor, and for your kingdom assignment. This we pray according to your word in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen and amen. We are praying for Florida. We are praying for Texas. We are praying for every state that has been attacked, that has been, I believe, attacked spiritually with these weather patterns that are unusual, but we can pray over weather. Where is that in the Bible? Number one, Elijah prayed and there was no rain for 3 years. This is in James and in First Kings The Bible speaks, Elijah prayed and there was no rain for the space of 3.5 years. Then he prayed again and it rained. Man wants to control. And make no mistake, man wants to control weather patterns. But God is the one that's in charge of the weather when he finds men and women who will pray. Elijah prayed and he moved weather patterns. Jesus prayed and rebuked the storms. It is possible that prayers affect weather patterns. No, no, no. If it's in the Bible, you've got to submit your opinion to the word. Jesus prayed and he rebuked the storm of wind. He called it a storm or a wind of storm or a storm of the wind. And when he rebuked the wind, then he said, peace be still to the waves. So he spoke to the spirit. Then he spoke to the natural. The waves are visible. The spirit is invisible. Then he caused peace and the storm was quiet. God has power over all weather patterns. That's why man wants that power. But I declare God is the God of heaven and your prayers matter. Your prayers have power and your prayers can change the course of our generation. God bless you. I pray that this podcast blessed you, that if it did, I'm going to ask you to give an offering of sharing. Hit the share button. Give an offering, share once, share twice. Let's pray for the states of America under attack. Let's pray for the course of nations. Let's pray for Israel. Psalm says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Continue to pray for what's happening in the news. Continue to pray for Ukraine, things happening in Russia, different parts of the world. Why? So that God would hear your prayers and give you power to redeem the time, for the days are evil. What does that mean? You buy more time. We'll talk about that later. Your prayers redeem time, for the days are evil. But when you walk in wisdom, God gives us more time. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for the nation. So if you were blessed, if God spoke to you, I'm going to ask you to share the podcast. Share it once, share it twice. Those watching on Facebook, those watching on YouTube, share it. Make sure you subscribe, you follow. If you're watching via our Charisma podcast, make sure you download the episode and share it with your friends. God is moving in a tremendous, tremendous way. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast with Apostle Nathaniel Leon. Stay up to date with our latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app, YouTube, or by liking us on Facebook at This Rock International. Thank you for listening and have a blessed day.